St. Cajetan, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, after yesterday's uncomfortable, wet, humid weather, we have a nice sunny summer's day. But you know, in the southern hemisphere, the weather is exactly the opposite. And now it's winter. Near a certain church in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, the capital city, today, despite the sometimes very cold wind, if you visited there, you would see people lined up literally around the block and longer to get into the church, all waiting to say a little prayer before a small statue of today's saint. I bet you don't know anything about him offhand, St. Cajetan of Thien, but he's known down there and he's loved as a miracle worker for the unemployed. So if you're desperate to get a job, you pray to St. Cajetan, because he was always very close to the poor and to the working men, and very often those who make a novena in his honor as they search for employment while they are heard by our Lord. St. Cajetan lived about the same time as Martin Luther, but you couldn't have gotten two that were more different. Two priests that were more different. Remember, Martin Luther was an apostate priest. Well, he was raised in a very devout family. His mother in particular had a strong influence on him. And he went to be a lawyer, a church lawyer as well as a civil lawyer. He got two degrees, but found time for lots of prayer as he was studying law and also the doing of works of charity. For a while, he was a local representative in his city, called a senator as a young man because he was so educated. But he felt that God was calling him to go to Rome, and he didn't know why. Luther went to Rome and used that as an excuse because he saw so many unworthy priests and offensive activities there. He used that as an excuse to break away from the church and become a heretic. St. Cajetan went to Rome to find out what God wanted of him, and soon he would learn what that was. He worked for the great warrior Pope Julius II as a diplomat for a while, and even though he wasn't a priest yet, he was already made a Monsignor because of his great talents and contributions. When the Pope died, he went back home and he got himself ordained a priest. Now he was 36, already kind of late to start the priesthood, but he was ordained a priest. And between his own hometown in the north of Italy and the city of Rome, he did a lot of good. He belonged to a confraternity called Of the Love of God, and they took care of the sick people and prisoners, and they all worked together to do whatever good really needed to be done. But then as time went on, our saint realized this is not going to work unless we get the priests to be good, unless we reform them. And so a group of priests, one of whom would later on become the great Paul IV, who was a bishop of Thien in Italy, they got together, and because the city was Thien, they were called the Theatines. They were a group like the Jesuits, that is to say, a group of priests who lived together in the common life, and they were doing every possible good work that they could. Yesterday, we had Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the afternoon, and this afternoon we have it again, and of course, you know, that lasts all night long. Our saint was a great one to promote Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. He's one of the saints who started the 40 Hours Devotion. And at the same time, as he heard confessions and preached, he was always getting after people to go to communion. And really, if our Lord came to this earth in France a couple centuries later to St. Margaret Mary, it was the same idea, wasn't it? Our Lord's getting after people to go to communion. Once St. Cajetan said, you know, if people don't have a desire to receive our Lord, that's a very bad sign. And unfortunately, every day proves that his observation is correct. And so our Lord uses all of these means, St. Cajetan did too, to try to get people to come more frequently, and of course very devoutly, to Holy Communion. Once he wrote to a niece of his who was expecting a baby, and she, of course, because he was so holy, she was asking for his prayers, and he said to her, "You know, you're in a better position to help yourself than I would be, and I'm a sinner, or any great saint would be. How could you help yourself? By going to Holy Communion." What a beautiful thought. He said, when you go to Holy Communion as a pregnant mother, you sanctify yourself, and you sanctify your baby in your womb, just as Blessed Mother did for St. Elizabeth with St. John as a little baby in her womb. The power of one Holy Communion. And doesn't that take us to First Friday? No matter what your needs are today, if you're maybe praying for family or for good health, or if you're looking for a job or something else, when you make your communion of reparation today, and it's going to be a devout one, I'm sure, you're going out of your way to come today for this extra communion, aren't you? When you make your communion of reparation today to the Sacred Heart, realize that our Lord is very close to you. You're in the position to do good for yourself far more than anyone else, even the highest saint of heaven, would be. Because, as we say in Latin, the Santissimum, the Most Holy One, He is coming to you, and you can offer him not only to the Sacred Heart for reparation for sins, but for all of your needs and all of your petitions. And in that sense, I'm sure you would if you had to. I mean, line up and wait outside a church in the bitter cold of the winter to get communion, but you don't. And our Lord makes it so easy for us, doesn't he? What a wonderful thing it is to receive our Lord. Say one extra prayer today for priests. Oh, and say a second prayer. May you never lose your desire of Holy Communion. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.